Yes, yes, we can.
We can. Every word.
Okay.
We're taking notes.
What? Catherine Beach. I will turn the system.
Smell it, get out.
Frank's.
Okay.
Feed me the lines first.
Okay.
Now I got you. I got you marked in.
That's right. Oh! Court Commission, Court of Port Townsend, now in session. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for attending. Okay. I have an amendment to the agenda under regular business, item B. Ken Collins from the Jefferson PUD is here to speak to us about some collaboration with the court, and I'd like to give him that time to do that. Any other amendments to the agenda?
No, I'm going to slide on that one.
No.
No more minutes.
Do you want me to?
No.
Okay.
But I think we do need to have more discussion. So I'm not sure if we want to, well, it's not an agenda item. We'll talk about it later. Okay. I'm adding an hour before the 5 o'clock.
Okay. Your motion to accept the agenda as amended?
No. I'll add C under regular business to talk about the workshop or the budget schedule and adding more time. How about that?
Okay.
Good, yeah, that's a good idea. So I move that we approve the agenda as amended.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, public comments. First room, surprise.
Feed me the lions first. Well, first of all, I thought that was a great workshop this morning. I'm so impressed with Chris and TJ and Terry and how they're really addressing the concerns that I have about getting a more efficient court. So I really, kudos to all three of them. Well, it's also very, very heartening to see that there is concern about measuring kilowatt hours on the yard rather than the draconian measure just to have a standard charge. There's a lot of people, you know, you haul your boat out and Haven or somebody's making a new rudder, you have to send for parts. For a week, you're sitting there with their boat and they're getting an electrical charge. You don't want that kind of bad press. So I'm pleased that you're moving forward on looking at a way to do that in a fair way. So thank you very much.
So I've got a question, Bertram, for people that are going to have their boat there and are going to be using electrical power. I guess my question is, Until we get some way of actually measuring power, if you come in and you say I'm going to be doing some work on my boat, it's going to be in the yard. Could we have like a flat power fee and make it optional? People there just have their boat in the yard for storage and they're not working on it and not plugging in anything, not have a fee?
I thought about that. That's a reasonable thing. But I think Steve has done some research that he's going to touch on that. So I'll just advocate to when that discussion comes up.
I got it. Steve's going to fix it.
Yeah. It just requires some monitoring. And I think that's what's important.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Pam.
Hi. I'm Pam Petronic. I just wanted to... First of all, I was responding to commission question about seasonal yard rates and input from the marine trades businesses, and I wanted to let you know that all in favor of continuing the seasonal yard rates, and I wanted to commend staff for so quickly responding to our questions about the first analysis that came out, and they responded with another analysis, and took the time to meet with different marine trades businesses and get a better feel for everything and then created this proposal that is in the agenda today. And all in favor. It's everybody just said acceptable. Clients would respond to it favorably. And I think we have had a fantastic season last year, and let's just continue bringing in that revenue for this next season and keep things stable. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Consent agenda. I have a change to the minutes. Is all I have. Somewhere in here, there's a mention of asking Pam to do a rate study, and I think what I was hoping for was rather than a full-blown rate study, was just a
review of
the information that she could glean from the trades about how much impact they saw. So more anecdotal rather than something full-on rate study. Or not rate
study. You know where it is.
I can find it, but how would you word it?
How did I word it?
How would you word it?
How would I word it? I'm trying to find it. Yeah. Yeah, do you remember where that
is? It's 3 minutes on the public comments. So it's page one.
Okay.
Part three, under Pam Petronic, it just says, Bill Putney asked to do an economic impact study.
Yeah, so instead of economic impact study.
How about a review of?
A review of the economic impact to the trades.
Okay. But
I was planning to be a full-blown study.
And when we accept the consent agenda with the change?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Yard rates.
Commissioners, you know, we've talked about this in a couple of meetings now, and we're nearing the time now where we really need to act so that the trades have an opportunity to telegraph to their clients what our intentions are and give our advertising people the opportunity to get the word out. Staff has met with a lot of mowing trades, and we've met with a lot of well owners. And although we are all of the mind that the port needs more money and we need to figure out how to do that, and we believe that discounted yard rates over time will generate more money, we believe that we don't have enough information to not continue our test program, if you will. So what staff is recommending is that we go another year with the study that was done a year and a half ago. The formula was we start at 35 cents, we go up by CPI, so that would bring it up to 36 cents this year. Staff's okay with that. But further studying, and the first time we did this study, we showed you that the impact of reducing rates lowered our income by about $10,000 because of utility charges. When we're charging 75 cents a foot, we can almost eat those charges and not have a big problem. But we cut that rate in half and still have those same utility charges. In the wintertime, when people use heaters and other things, it was a drain. So what this recommendation is that we go with 36 cents this year to gather more information. But we have a utility either surcharge and or switch over to some kind of meter. This particular proposal assumes that we have a $1.50 a day charge or $30 a month charge for electricity. So you don't, if it's in storage, you don't need electricity, you don't pay anything. If you're gonna be out for 30 days, it would be a $30 charge. If you're only gonna be out for 10 days, it would be $1.50 a day to recoup some of those costs. Obviously, Bertram's idea of meters is a great idea. I think it's going to be a bigger capital expenditure than we think it is, but Steve, defer to him because he has some research that might help us determine kilowatt hour metering.
Yeah, short of asking the PUD for a nice seasonal discount for our yard rates.
We've got them here right now. Let's be talking about this.
No, actually, I was looking at, let me go back a little bit. I was looking at this, trying to figure out if we were actually going to recoup our costs even at these $30 a day, and it doesn't look like we are. Because if you look at every year, we end up with a variance in, I mean, through the, every month, a variance in the negative figure. In other words, we use $4,000 worth of electricity in January of 19. At $30 a day, you collect $2,400, leaving a negative balance of $2,400. So even with these flat rate fees, we're still not collecting all of our electricity charges. So we're basically saying, come on, we'll give you a discount, we'll cover half your electricity. So I thought, to me, the best way to do that would be to actually charge for the actual electricity used. I mean, who could argue with that? And at the last meeting, I did indicated that, you know, that I've got a deal at home, a kilowatt that works, but it goes, it inserts itself between the power cord and the pedestal. And if you had a problem, like if somebody put on, decided he wanted to put on three resistance heaters, you could burn it up and then you'd be. So I did a quick look, just really quick, and I discovered that there's, I don't know if I can put this on the screens or not, but there's a, just the first one I looked at is a place called Hydro. It basically is an inductive amp clamp. So the cord goes from the boat to the pedestal. This amp clamp goes around it. It then reads a current flowing through the cord. And this then in turn goes to a Bluetooth device that then sends the information to your computer. And they're cheap. If a pedestal has four outlets on it, you could put four of these things on a pedestal for $279 for all four of them, and the information goes into a computer someplace. And so then we could store it and actually charge for the electricity, and then we would be able to get all of our electricity charges back instead of just half of them. Plus, people would be understanding that we're only charging it, it's just a pass-through, right? Charge them any money, making no profit on. Whereas if you just charge them a flat rate, they have, well, what if I only used $10 worth of electricity and they're charging me $30?
How do you secure that clamp?
You'd have to make a box for it.
And the clamp only goes around one lead, so it doesn't go around the whole cord.
I'm not so sure about that, because there's a picture of it. It doesn't look like it's designed to be.
It's around one lead. Well, I think we need to make more research.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea that.
So I guess the question before us today is, we have this proposal from, or this amended rate from staff. And the question I think is, I don't know that we could commit to doing this before this rate goes into effect. Do we implement this stipend kind of rate as a until such time as we can actually meter? Do we not charge the rate at all and just eat the 10 kilobucks it's going to cost us to run this rate again?
Why don't we accept this with one of these, the $1 or $1.50, and I mean, we can get this figured out by another meeting, and we can amend this at a second meeting. No? Yes?
So one of the things that you heard today from staff is our power boxes are failing. They need to be replaced.
Right.
So this is a Band-Aid to temporarily fix them. So if we're going to do it, why don't we redo the infrastructure, roll it out on a scheduled basis, and have the right equipment, you know, do the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to say, was that, you know, we're not gonna get to rolling out the new power boxes before this rate has to go into effect. And you'd really want to do all that stuff at once rather than retrofit the old boxes and then replace the new boxes. New boxes. So do it once. Because even if it's only at $250 per how many boxes we have?
Four of them, yeah. So in other words, you're right. An induction thing only has to go around one connector, so it go inside the box.
Yeah.
The pedestal. So that's, you know, you open up the pedestal, put these four little induction devices in there and the Bluetooth receiver, and then for $300 for four pedestals, you have it done. And then you wouldn't have to fabricate any pedestals or anything, just go inside.
except our pedestals are rusting and.
So we have to replace the pedestals
anyway.
They have
to be repaired anyway and replaced.
How many are there?
Guyon County, they think there are 85 pedestals. And one of the issues is, when you're in the yard, there are extension cords going everywhere. Sometimes three or four boats are plugged into one pedestal. So they need to be all individually metered and individually allocated.
I think we need to consider that when we redo the pedestals, is make sure that there's enough capacity there so that, you know, that we're not sharing outlets, and then let peer pressure keep people from using somebody else's outlet.
Well, we'd have to have a way of keeping, you know, regardless of whether we have a meter, you know, you'd have to still have a problem somebody plugging it out of my meter and putting it into Bertram's meter, you know, so we'd have to have a way of controlling it regardless of what we use.
Yeah.
So
I mean, peer pressure would have to do that.
Yeah.
Bertram would come along and cut somebody's hands off if it did that.
Wouldn't the clamp, couldn't you put it around their cord?
No, because you're right. You have to have one.
They cancel each other.
But that's okay though, because there's a inside the pedestal, there's one lead going
yeah.
to each stop. So you
just put it next to the breaker.
And you put it inside there and plug it up, and then it'd be done. And like I said, $280 would do a pedestal. And then you'd be having I don't see that it would be a temporary or a, you know, it could be a permanent fix.
Well, except for replacing the pedestal, so.
Except for, yeah, I mean, when you replace the pedestal, you have to put it back in.
Yeah.
So there you are.
Well,
let's do a little more research on it. I think it's a great idea, and I don't know I'm going to have it done in 14 days when this thing starts.
So back, yeah, back.
That's the question. I mean, if we don't adopt this, it puts an awful lot of pressure on staff to get. You know, a plan to do 80 pedestals in a short amount of time.
Amazon has 2-day shipping.
will they ship electricians with that?
It's a slow season.
I'm comfortable with whatever. I want to see it. If we're going to leave the rate the same, my druthers is we've got to recoup it from the electricity.
So if you recoup it from the electricity, the only way to even come close to it is that $45 a day. Because then you're, if you do it the $30 a day, if you're doing $30 a month, then you're only recouping half. Yeah. If you do $45 a month, you're doing 80%.
Right.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Like I tell my staff, anything we do, we're going to do better than we did last year. So I think we just need to move toward this in baby steps. Metering's the only way to go, but we just need some time to do that.
So I think that what I'm hearing is that this needs to be done now because of timeliness. And I think that if you look on the backside of that, on the amount of boats that come into the yard, I think that since we kind of waited a while last year to get it going, we didn't have the advertising that we anticipated we would. And so you'll notice that the first September, October, November were pretty much just the same as anything else. You know, there was really no amount of increased boat traffic in back there. December was a little bit better than the previous, but not as good as 15. But January, February, and March is where it works. So in other words, if we're going to have numbers like January, February, and March to occur in September, October, November, we need to do this now. And I was kind of on the out last year. I didn't really understand the commitments that the Marine Trades had made to market it. I knew they were going to do it, but I wasn't sure if we were doing some and they were doing some, or they were doing it all, or we were doing it all, or what. But I'm not sure, have we got anything like that this year?
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing what when?
We're both doing it. Marine Trades are doing it, and we are doing it.
Well, so,
and there is precedent with like Port of Everett.
So we adopt this and some plan just gels and we get the pedestals all metered, then we can come back and rescind the this and go to a metered rate.
Except that if we have everyone advertising, that they're going to be a $30.
Well, you advertise the rate, you don't advertise them.
You wouldn't, yeah, you advertise
the charge. You do whatever all the other ports do, and you say, this is the rate for this service, and then you add a whole bunch of stuff on top.
And we have other charges, tarp fees and other things that aren't in our 36 cents a foot, so. That's the loss leader. It basically is 36 cents a foot come here.
So then what we're approving today then is 36 cents a foot plus some charge that has yet to be determined for electricity, or what?
Is that part of it? Do we have actually specify that what we're charging for electricity today?
We're going to have that fee, yes.
But that is part of what you want us to approve today, I guess is the question.
Yeah. So there is one other thing on here. If you read Mark Burns' email that was sent to all of you, the marine trade still believes September is a very important month for this discount. Staff, and this is Terry and TJ talking, believe that it's problematic and they would like to start in October instead of September. So your decision is going to be, do we start in September like we did last year, or do we start in October? I have no problem either way.
Yeah, we actually lost a lot in September last year. If you look on the figures. I mean, as far as both numbers go, we had less. That was the worst year in out of the last five.
Now, one of the things that the marine trades have conceded is that they believe that April should not be in play. It was in play this year. So we are both in alignment that it ends the end of March. So.
Okay. All right.
I would pick October 1st and above. And I would also, are we going to instruct you? What are we going to do as far as getting those plant things figured out?
As soon as Steve forwards me that, I will be on it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, because I'd really like to see us doing exactly what you're talking about. It's just charging everybody for whoever's using what. Mm-hmm. That's what's fair.
Yeah. So this
and the customer won't even know it because it's not published in the 36 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're at a buck now, but we get it figured out in the next month.
This is what we do in the shipyard. I mean, anyone else in the shipyard knows that there's an electrical charge. We read kilowatts because we have meters there, so it's pretty simple. There's a precedent. So
we're not charging for power even in season. We're not.
We're not charging for any power.
What's that?
We're not charging for any power in the boatyard, even in season. Just the shipyard. No, nothing in there. Like I said, at 75 cents a foot, I can say, okay, we can still survive, but at 35 cents, it's hard.
So,
but I'd like to come back to you during budget season and look at that and say, should we be charging all year round on a metered basis?
I think once we have meters in place, charging is probably the right way
right.
to go. We need to get our expenses for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think this is a really quick and inexpensive way to get some revenue coming even in the summertime. You know, I mean, make a little boatyard charge like a big boatyard as far as for electricity. So I guess just to get it started, we should, I agree with Pete, October, and maybe do $1 a month until we get $30 a month. Until we get this figured out. And I think we can figure this out as soon as possible and then just supplant that for the wintertime.
So what's in here now is kind of moving, especially with Chris, how fast Chris is moving on stuff, he can pull us off quickly. Mm-hmm.
What's in here now is $1.50 a day or $30 a month, whichever is less, depending on how many days you stay.
Well, my recommendation over here, Steve, is $1.50. I gave you the analysis for both $1 and $1.50.
Okay. So $1.
Okay, that's even better.
So if the month has 28 days in it, it's $28. If the month has 31 days in it, it's $31.
No, $1.50 per day.
Oh, you want to do the buck 50?
Well, that's what it says here. Jim is correcting me that.
Yeah, and Jim, and then we have the alternative if we want a buck or a buck 50. Mm-hmm. And then I said, oh, let's do a buck.
Oh, I see.
If you want to jump up to
the I would go October and $1.50. Okay. And I'll raise one.
So now.
Well, I mean, that's a recommendation from staff, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that what's going to happen is when people start actually paying electricity, they're going to find that it's more than $1.50 a day when it's actually metered. So this will be kind of like the shock producer.
Are you in final agreement?
Sure.
Okay. I have a motion.
I move that we go to October for the start date, $1.50 or per day or $30 per month until we get the meters in.
Yeah, and I'll second that with the caveat that we're counting on the meters to solve our problem.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's done. We have no first readings. Ryan Toss reading.
So just very briefly, I think the staff report will at least speak for themselves, as does the tenant. Toss Yacht Rigging has been a tenant at Point Hudson, an iconic kind of anchor tenant of the Maritime Heritage Corridor for, I think, more than 30 years now. We're pleased that they want to enter into a new lease agreement that is consistent, we believe, with the recently adopted policies that the commission enacted earlier this year. Their rate would increase by just under 5 cents a square foot, and is commensurate with the other rates paid by tenants also situated in the Armory building. What they're asking for is a 5-year term lease with no renewals, and at 58.5 cents a foot. So we're pleased to be able to bring this to you and to ensure that Toss Rigging has a stable home for the coming years.
No discussion.
I only have one question, and that's I've been reading the whole thing through because it's full of the same stuff they all have, but I did a word search for parking, and there's not a mention of parking in there. So what are we going to do regarding leases? We haven't had our parking discussion yet. I mean, it's not like I'm wanting to get more money for parking. It's just we need to determine parking priorities so we don't have problems come up by this in the future.
So Brian, on the in your situation now, do you have adequate parking for? I'm sorry.
Not here.
Not here.
I'm different.
As usual.
Toss Rigging is not a
parking. Doesn't shock me.
It's not a parking intensive business.
Right. Yeah.
So it's really one car that sits there. So we typically don't really bother. It's just the occupant. Different than retail shops or people where there's a lot of office people. So no, you're right, it's not in there, and we still need to convene that parking committee and talk about how we're going to handle this.
So is that parking committee going to be a subset of the CRB, whatever we want to call it?
We're looking at it as an ad hoc committee, just about parking. So we make sure we have representation from Point Hudson and Boathaven. That's really users.
Yeah, I have no problem with the lease, and I'm really glad Brian's continuing to be with us. But I just think it's something that to protect ourselves from problems, yeah, unanticipated problems in the future, we should have something in there, because if there's nothing in there, then we're just left leaving ourselves wide open for problems. But if we at least talk about it, then we have something to go back to.
Is this the first lease with the 1.25 escalator for?
Oh, I don't believe so. No, I can't recall off the top of my head.
We did Leo.
Oh, that's right. Best Coast Canvas was done with the same provision.
That's right. Okay. Any more discussion?
Nope.
Make a motion. We accept the lease.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That's done. And we have with us this afternoon Ken Collins from the Jefferson PUD. And I had previously had a meeting with Ken about the possibility of collaboration, and hopefully Ken will speak to us on that subject.
I appreciate the opportunity to have a few minutes of your time this afternoon. As you're probably aware, the PUD is in the final stages of a strategy study. We hired a consultant several months ago. There was a survey across Jefferson County. It had about a 5% return, but it generated 50 pages of additional comments. And we'll get the final report in about a month. That's when it's forecasted to be available to us. But I think I can predict two findings, not having seen the report. One is that in order to expand broadband, especially to the outlying areas of the county, it's going to take cooperation and collaboration across governmental agencies. And the second thing that I would absolutely predict is it's going to take a lot of money to do this. I think it's encouraging that the legislature passed SB 5511, which is the governor's broadband bill. At the present time, the ball is in the court of the Public Works Board, which will be administering the funding. They're in a rulemaking process. It's anticipated that that's going to take probably a year, but that should make available to various forms of government, PUD, port, municipalities, several million dollars. And we'll know more about it as the Public Works Board completes that rulemaking process. One of the ways of understanding what our options are in Jefferson County is to look at what has happened in other counties. And to that purpose, the PUD is organizing what you could call half-day broadband colloquium. We want to have Mason 3 PUD folks come up and talk about their process, their business model, as well as Kitsap County, which is fairly far ahead in doing limited utility districts and expanding broadband, and also Opalco from the San Juan Islands, which is a totally different model. But all of what they have in common is that they have developed processes by which the consumers have funding available, which the payback can be spread over a period of several years, so it's not onerous. And there's a flat fee that is set, and this has worked well in other places, and I think it's something we need to find out more about. I think we also need to do more research locally. To that point, I've asked in a meeting that Brian, on the behalf of the EDC, get a temperature read of local businesses, the Main Street community, and find out what is the demand for improved broadband in the downtown port towns and areas. The survey that was done, I think, will give us a fairly good idea of where are the underserved areas in various corners of Jefferson County. But I think it's also important, since the PUD has put in now infrastructure, put in conduit from which they can fairly readily pull the fiber optic cable. So we I think, need to find a way of measuring the demand and then partnering, and this is another area kind of problematic, that we've got a couple of small ISPs, we've got huge ISPs doing business in Jefferson County who are less interested in reaching the outlying areas because it doesn't fit their business model. So one of the ways I think we benefit in terms of hearing from other PUDs and other counties is how can we work together to demonstrate enough interest that we can lure a medium-sized ISP that, can take advantage of the opportunities here. Certainly the smaller ISPs would like to expand, but they're 2 and 3 person operations. They don't have the capability. And it can be, I think, predicted that they're not going to have the capability. We need some organization that has the capacity to serve our needs. And I think the best way of luring them here is by generating the kind of interest across the community that, can demonstrate that the need is here, the interest is here. And I appreciated being able to meet with Bill a couple of weeks ago, because I think there is support. We've had discussions among the PUD Board of Commissioners that we think it'd be very useful to do a joint meeting of the Port Commission and the PUD Commissioners and talk this through and see what kind of additional ideas we can generate. So that's really my ask today. For your cooperation, for your time going forward, for us to discuss what we can do together. Because certainly having the EDC, having the port, having the PUD, I think substantially increases our leverage when it comes to applying for grant funding. And it looks like there may be $15 to $20 million available through the Public Works Board within the next year or so. So the opportunities are there, and I look forward to our working together. And I would also offer that if you want information about installing electric meters and filling your room with participants, we can do that for you.
So I got a quick, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead, Steve.
So Ken, was that $15 million for the Public Works, was that statewide?
Yes.
So all of the PUDs and
OB. Correct, correct.
Competing for that.
Yes, but we're talking about over a 4-year period of time. You can't quote me on funding because that still is a variable that's unknown, but the initial proposal was for $100 million over a 4-year period of time. So.
Which is more like it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's real money, but again, we're talking about action that is subject to the state legislature finding other purposes for which to spend the money, and this was the proposal, but it's not cast in concrete yet.
So a couple observations. One, I live on Larson Lake Road, and I get to watch my fiber optic cable every day, although I have a DSL line into my house. And I run our business, which employs 35 people, out of that office. So I'm in the dark ages. And I think a number of people in the county are in the dark ages.
Yes.
And it probably already is affecting the economy of this county, because people will not move here. I had lunch with my broker from the Midwest. He's staying with a friend on Maristone. He had to go in his car to the end of the driveway so he could hotspot with his phone to his laptop to do his work. So he's been sitting in his car all day to do that because there's no service on Maristone. We at the port can put dark fiber in the ground. That's what we can do. We can legally do that. I think before I would say let's spend time together, we need to resolve how does that work with the PUD, because I don't know that the PUD needs dark fiber in the ground, and I'd like to understand in terms of a collaboration how you see that relationship working. But that's what we can do legally, can't do anything else. So as far as the EDC's involvement, they don't really have a role to play here. I mean, they can't apply for money. They can go out and do some surveying. I can tell you, no one's going to say we don't need the service. Everyone needs the service. We're in the dark ages in Jefferson County. So my point would be, before we spend time asking people again, do you want better service, more capacity, let's just go out and do it. let's just figure out how to do it and do it. I really think in terms of your group meeting, you ought to consider inviting the Port of Skagit in, because they have really done an amazing job of employing what they can do and integrating that with the PUD there. And that's it. Well, the other part too is the Public Works Board, I think we're like the tainted child at the Public Works Board. And for, you know, intergovernmental cooperation, it really needs to start at that level with the Public Works Board. And the ports really feel as a group of the state, and this is what we talk about in our conferences, that we're shut out of the Public Works Board. So I think for PUDs and counties and small cities to say to the Public Works Board, it's really important that you have port representation at that level would really help us in terms of moving into a more of a collaborative standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, the governor had, essentially all the broadband stuff for the state was being run through CURB, and then it got moved from CURB to Public Works, and the ports have kind of been always shut out of Public Works, except that now they've got this project from the governor to do broadband, and the ports are smack dab in the middle of that. And I don't know how they can continue to shut the ports out, you know, with that additional responsibility. I mean, we're in it. Skagit is an interesting case. They're one of the ports that does have a very active broadband project plan, and they do collaborate with their PUD. They're a little different than Jefferson County, in that Skagit
doesn't have private.
Well, Skagit is mostly connecting business parks to business parks, and arguably we don't have more than one, or
right.
You know, so that model isn't exactly our model, but maybe the collaborations, and they have done some interagency agreements that might be models for what we want to do. But I think there's other things that the port could do too that are outside of our broadband authority, and just from an economic development standpoint, that could create more opportunities and be helpful to getting this broadband thing running in the county. So I think there's room for collaboration. I think more collaboration with other agencies in the county is better than less. I don't know, Ken, do you have an idea when the PUD board would like to have this grand assembly?
I think probably after we get the report from the consultant looking at what was proposed broadband strategy for us, that would probably be good timing.
Sometime after the United Race.
Yeah, I would say 4 to 6 weeks from now.
I would really like to see the staffs talk about the handcuffs that we each kind of wear, so that as we approach a joint meeting, that's kind of worked out from our staff to the commissioners and from your staff to your commissioners, so that, you know, there's a few ideas on the table of how we could get out from behind those handcuffs. And then we're not just sitting there all talking about what a great idea it would be to put broadband throughout the county, but actually doing something that might be.
I will do that. Reach out.
Okay.
And the other thing that's really ironic, as we sit here and talk about this, is we have this industrial development district vote coming up this fall. And the reason that legislature was created in the beginning, and has been even expanded further to be more flexible today, is not for repair or replacement, it's for infrastructure like what exactly what we're talking about. So if by chance we get that approved and we actually are able to tax and use that money, what a great thing that could be with collaboration to go down the road and be able to help fund things like this, because this is exactly what that tax was designed for.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and as a longtime resident of Maristone Island, I am more than familiar with the frustration that you're talking about, and having had business on the island as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it does look like that is going to change through a collaborative effort between CenturyLink and the PUD. They're doing a fiber swap, and I have been told that CenturyLink will start hanging fiber up Flagler Road within the next 3 weeks or so.
Wow.
We will see if that happens.
Yeah.
And, if it does, there'll be a small celebration on the island, I can assure you. But I look forward to our continuing the dialogue. And again, thank you for your time.
Ken, if I could, I'd like to publicly commend your staff. You know, we all work together quite well. But I don't know if a lot of people, even the audience or even commissioners, know to the extent of collaboration between Kevin and his group of bringing 483 phase to the port. This is huge, allowing our marine trades to do better work, more work. And so really thank you and your staff for being so good at working together.
I appreciate that, and I will definitely pass that on.
And Ken, in my comments, it isn't that I don't want to work with PUD, it's just I want it to be productive as we approach.
I understood that that was your point.
Yeah.
And I agree that laying some groundwork on the staff level ahead of time is an excellent idea.
Thank you.
Okay. Budget schedule discussion.
Well, we had a good workshop this morning. Excellent workshop. And the more we talked, the more I was like, man, we got a lot to talk about. And so seems like we should expand our budget schedule a little bit and add on afternoon workshops to the second meeting if we don't already have those scheduled. And I don't know because I don't have that scheduled.
We do not.
Yeah, we don't.
We will do that.
Yeah. Like, I would suggest like 3 o'clock, which is when we usually have our afternoon workshop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least for the short term, for the
absolutely
next couple months.
Just continue on what we were chewing on today. Mm-hmm. Good. And I would encourage the audience to come because it's helpful for everybody to.
Yeah, we only had one audience member this morning, and it's
really you have it too.
We had two.
Oh, we had two, yeah. And so we had it's a discussion. It's not just us sitting up here talking to each other. It's a discussion with everyone, and that's really useful. So
is that
just an instruction
cast in the minutes somewhere about schedule?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So 3 p.m. the next meeting.
Sure.
Workshop before the 5:30 meeting, dinner break. And
okay.
So how long is the how long is the workshop? 3 to 4:30.
An hour. An hour.
Just 1 hour.
3 to 4.
Okay. I won't be here, so one of you guys will have to record it.
Okay. Staff comments.
Karen, anything?
Just that I'll be on vacation, so you won't see me. It's my 30th anniversary, so we're going to Hawaii, and I will be gone. I'll be in a.
Okay.
Catherine, anything from you? Catherine?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Eric?
Can you hear me? It's saying your bandwidth is low, so.
Yes. We can hear you.
She can't see you. So if you say, we can hear you.
Yes,
nod, yes.
We can hear you.
Okay, oh, hear me. Okay, nothing for me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing other than bid opening on the runway reconstruction project on Friday at 2 p.m. Then we also are out to bid, as Jim indicated in the workshop this morning, on the main breakwater repair at Bellhaven. That's open for about a month, I think, if I remember correctly. It's 2 p.m. on Wednesday, the 18th of September, when that bid opening occurs.
We had a good airport meeting, I think, Bill. Everybody was very respectful, good questions, good turnout, and we're moving forward. They had some good ideas, so that was great. I echo your concerns or ideas that we had a great frank budget meeting today. I think we need to continue and ask you if you have any ideas or topics you would like to flush out more before the meeting, let us know, and we can prepare some backup data for that.
And I would like to see some of the options that were kind of presented from staff today fleshed out. You know, travel lift, boat lift, boat trailer type, boxes, power boxes, cameras.
Okay,
all right. Commissioners.
I have none.
None.
Just to say, it was a good meeting with the airport people. A lot of constructive questions, and I think we're on the way.
I told staff I had an impromptu meeting with a lot of them last night, and they thought it was a very good meeting as well. So,
it's great to be communicating. Maybe I should mention I have an MRC meeting, and the MRC is the Marine Resources Committee. It's a county government group, and they had a couple people, well, three people leave. One of them got cancer, and so they're down in the ranks a little bit, and they realized that when I leave in December, that we're going to need to have another representative from the port. Mm. So they were a little bit concerned about their diminishing ranks, but they're really interested in making sure the port continues to fulfill that.
Okay. I think maybe it's worth a workshop subtopic to kind of to look at what your commissioner assignments are and how we might transition mm-hmm. those.
I would agree.
Yeah. Okay. And there is no executive session today, so the next regular business meeting of the Port of Port Townsend Commission is, so we're going to have a workshop at 3 p.m. on Wednesday the 28th, and a Port Commission meeting on the same day at 5:30 right here. Thank you for your attendance. And the Court Commission's adjourned.
Bye, Catherine.
Way better. Did she sign out? She signed out. That's a still of her. I think she signed out.
Oh, no, she's hopping around the bunny trail.
It's because I'm so cool.
Hey, everybody.